Welcome to the Pascal Ngwe Podcast. Pastor Pascal is the senior pastor of Alive Bible Church, a vibrant and growing church with branches across South Africa. Pastor Pascal is an anointed teacher of the Word of God who makes the Bible to come alive. Get ready to be empowered as you listen to the Word of God.
Praise the Lord. Tonight, I want to continue talking to you guys about prayer secrets. Prayer secrets. Amen. Say with me, prayer secrets. Yes, that's what we want to talk about tonight. And I believe that as you learn secrets about prayer, there will be a change in your prayer life. Luke 11 verse 1, the Bible says, "Now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.'" So the subject of prayer as a teaching is an important subject. You are seeing one of the disciples, and I'm praying that we have such people in the church today. People who will, Brother Marvin, please come and sit. People who will basically come to you after the service and say to you, "Please teach me to pray." We don't have that today. You see, what happened here? So one of the disciples, the Bible says, that one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." You know, everybody thinks they know how to pray. But knowing how to pray is not about just praying. It's about getting results from your prayer. Results from prayer is a proof that you know how to pray. Not that you shout, not that you make a lot of noise during the prayer time, but that you get results. Meaning you are one person that when you pray, God answers. Do you get it? That's when you say that, "Teach us to pray." Why? Because every time Jesus prayed, God answered. So by all means, Jesus knew how to pray. And Jesus had secrets about prayer. There are secrets. Everywhere you go, if you say, "Arapeling" or something. Arapeling. Once you say "Arapeling," everybody will start talking something. So as for the act of prayer, there's no doubt everybody knows how to do that. But that's not what you use to know if a person is a good prayer warrior. The results. Don't pray without results. Don't pray without results. Hallelujah. Don't pray without results. Jeremiah 33 verse 3, I think is very, very clear. Amen. What does it say? You see, so the covenant of prayer based on scripture is that if you call, God will answer. God will answer. It is very common to see people who pray without answers. It's very common. In almost every church, it's prayer time, so let's pray. But who cares about the answers? Who is interested to know if God is actually answering us? If God is even hearing us? One of the proof that God is with you is that your prayers are answered. That's one of the indications that God is with a person. Is that what that person says, God listens. And after God listens, 1 John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. Praise the Lord. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. Oh, yes. I want you to see the covenant of prayer.
before I teach you the prayer secrets. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him. So, we are confident about something. He said that if we ask anything, if we ask what?
Anything.
Say it again.
Anything.
There's no bar. There's no limit. There's no, like, anything according to his will. According to his will. Meaning what you are asking is what God wants. What you are asking is in line with the will of God for your life or for whatever you are praying for. What you are asking is what the Bible says. According to his will. The will of God is what he works with. Not your desire. His will. His will. You gotta be in the will of God. That's why when we pray prayer points, we mention scriptures so that we can connect the scripture to the will of God. The scripture must line up with what God wants, with God, what God said. If I'm just praying a prayer point and I cannot substantiate it with a scripture, that prayer point might not be the will of God. Or might not be according to the will of God. Because the word of God is the will of God. So if I can find something in the word of God, it means that's the will of God. And therefore, I can pray for such a thing. Praise the Lord. If we ask anything. So when you are asking, ask yourself, is it according to the will of God? Now, it might be in the Bible, but is it the will of God for my life? Those are all elements that have to come to play before you can see answers in prayers. He said, if you ask according to his will, he hears you. So, which means, if you are praying outside the will of God, Baba, he's not even listening. Doesn't mean you are not making noise. He's not hearing you. You are outside his will, he's not hearing. Not to talk of him answering. He hears us. He hears us. If it is according to the will of God, he hears us. May you always pray according to the will of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And now, verse 15. And if we know that he hears us, come on somebody, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we have asked of him.
Yay.
Say with me, answers.
Answers.
So you are having Jeremiah 33 verse 11, you are having 1 John chapter 5 verse 14 and 15, they are all telling you one and the same thing. God is a prayer answering God. God is not a noisemaker entertainer. No, God answers prayers. God answers prayers. So when you come to God, you're not coming to an idol, somebody that you're just going to make a lot of noise and after that you're going to go home. You are missing out on an opportunity to solve a problem using prayer. Using prayer. Because my Bible tells me in James 5 verse 14, my Bible tells me, is anyone among you sick? Let him call the elders of the church. Let them pray for him and anoint him with oil. 15. What did I say? James 5. Oh, from 13 rather. 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him complain. Let him go and tell everybody that he's suffering. Okay, NIV even says it better. Look at NIV. Look at NIV. Is anyone among you in trouble? In trouble. What all kinds of trouble? People are into all kinds of troubles. Troubles with your health, trouble with the family, trouble financially. There are all kinds of troubles. And the answer to troubles is what? Prayer. Prayer. How many of you can say that you've been in a trouble before? You've had a trouble before? Do you see? There's nobody here that will say you don't have troubles or you've never experienced trouble. Then you are dead. As long as you are alive, there and there will be troubles. Even Jesus says, in this world, you'll have many tribulations. Another word for tribulation is trouble. You'll have many troubles. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now, how do we deal with troubles? We don't complain about troubles. No. We pray. You see, troubles are serious. And God is saying, use prayer to fight trouble. That should tell you that there's something about prayer. If when I'm in trouble, the recommendation of God is prayer. That tells you prayer has power. You know why many believers don't pray when they are in trouble? They don't believe that there's anything in prayer. Prayer is to open a service. Prayer is because it's prayer time. But they do not really believe that I can pray and God can, like something can happen through a prayer. So they don't use prayer. And guess what? The troubles continue. Wow. I want to believe God with you that your troubles will not continue. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 10. Your troubles should not continue. But may the God of peace, who has called you to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered for how long? A while. Trouble is not supposed to continue. Problems are not supposed to be there forever. A trouble is for a while. But what causes the trouble to become continual? Lack of prayer. Watch people that are forever struggling. Check their prayer lives. They dodge prayer. They don't respect prayer. They don't pray. Therefore, something that was supposed to last 3 days is now there for 3 years. If the Bible recommendation for trouble, if you say, now, I have this disease, and this way, no, if you have this disease, take this medication. They are telling you that the answer to this problem is this medication. You cannot go and say, I don't like this medication, I'm going to. No, you have to go with the recommendation. That's why a doctor prescribes certain medication to deal with the issue at hand. And Dr. Jesus is prescribing to us tonight, what is the medication against troubles? What is the medication?
Prayer.
Not talking about prayer. Not reading about prayer. Not teaching about prayer. Praying. So in Luke 11 verse 1, he didn't say, teach us about prayer. Look at it. He said, one of the disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us about prayer. Teach us to pray. To pray. Like, get us in prayer. Get us to start praying. Abba. Teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Not to beg. Not to complain. Some of us are going, Jesus, teach me how to complain. Teach me how to always be sad. Teach me how to always manipulate. No. Teach us to pray. May you become a praying believer in the name of Jesus. May you become one. May you become one. So they wanted to pray, but now they needed the secrets that Jesus is using in his prayer. Are you blessed so far? I'm trying to show you that, you see, prayer time should not be a boring time. Prayer time is exchange time. Look at Philippians. I think it's Philippians 4. Let me show you quickly there before I take you through the secrets of prayer. Philippians 4 verse 6. Look at what is going on. Be anxious for nothing. Anxiety it's a continual worry. When you are anxious, you are worried continuously about something. It is also what we call negative meditation. Like your thoughts are dark. Your thoughts are on negative things. You are worried. You are concerned. And that thing is on your mind continuously. Then we say you are anxious. You are anxious. And believe you me, anxiety is a cause of a lot of physical problems. So anxiety is a mental condition, but it affects the body. High blood pressure, hypertension, all kinds of problems. Insomnia. Because you are worried about this, that. Your mind is on it. You can't even rest. People that don't know Christ, that's why they go to the bottle. So that another influence can try to numb these thoughts for a few hours. Anxiety. People are worried. What if? You are worried. What if? He says, be anxious for nothing. How will you reach this stage where you are anxious for nothing? It's not a small place to get to. You don't just get there like, okay, I'm anxious for nothing. No. The things that are surrounding you are not joking. So how do you get there? He said, but in everything, by prayer. Everything. Anxious for nothing, everything by prayer. Anxious for nothing, everything by prayer. So for you to not be anxious, you should take everything by prayer. If you don't take everything by prayer, you'll be anxious about a lot of things. Let me rather say, anything you don't take by prayer, you'll be anxious about. Oh, yeah. The less you pray, the more anxious you become. The more worried you become, the more troubled you become, the more concerned you become. Jesus told Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. Many things are troubling you. Because when your mind becomes anxious, anything becomes a trouble. The child praying, you are troubled. You are concerned he can fall. Everything just becomes, you become a trouble freak. There's no more faith in you. Don't think you have faith all the time. Jesus asked the disciples, where is your faith? Where is your faith? Because you don't always have faith. There are times when you've run out of faith. And if you don't build yourself, actually, what's going to happen is that you're going to break. God is speaking to somebody here tonight. Amen. Be anxious for nothing. But what must you do? Everything by prayer. Everything by prayer. Relationship by prayer. Finances by prayer. Parenting by prayer. Ministry by prayer. Everything by prayer. Everything. We only take certain things by prayer. We don't take everything by prayer. That's why there are loopholes that Satan uses against us. From tonight, become an everything by prayer person. When I ask, what are you, I'm going to pray about it. Yeah, I'll pray about it must become a sentence that comes out of your mouth quite often. I'll pray about it. No, let's pray about it. No, let's trust God. Let's talk to God about it. You say, they don't pray. They talk. They don't pray. They don't pray. They talk. They don't pray. They talk. Everything by talking. Everything by prayer. With supplications. So you see, you bring prayer, You bring supplications. When you are supplicating, you are making requests. You are requesting his intervention. You are asking God to come and help you. You are crying before him over a situation. That's what Anna did. Anna was being oppressed by her rival, the other wife, Penina. And Anna went to the temple and she started supplicating and asking God to help her. Anna didn't go to the doctor. Maybe she did, I don't know. But she went to prayer. And from that place of prayer, she returned with the answer. Believers don't do this anymore. Believers are clever. You look at churches, Sunday, packed. Prayer time is the idiots that are going there to waste their time. The real people don't do that. They go to the bank. The real people go to doctors. The real people have business meetings. But they don't value prayer. They don't schedule time for prayer. They don't come on time for prayer. I know what I'm talking about. It's not something that means much to them. They trivialize it. Yet the Bible says everything runs through that thing. Everything runs through that thing. A man of God says when prayer is not the key, prayer is the hand that holds the key. When prayer is not the key to the door, prayer becomes the hand that is holding the key. So you can never bypass prayer. Either prayer is the key or prayer is the hand that is holding the key. Like without prayer, the key will not turn. You might have the key, but it's not turning. Because prayer is not involved. That's why you see the full armor. Prayer is the last one. That without prayer, righteousness won't work. Without prayer, belt of truth won't work. Without prayer, shield of faith won't work. Without prayer, sword of the spirit. All those guys, they depend on prayer. They depend on prayer. I remember one time I was with a pastor, and the guy who helped us with the glass door at the front there is a pastor of a church, Rustenburg. So we're just. When we go, we're looking for the material. While he's busy talking to the people, I'm just there. I didn't know that he's noticing me. So when we came here, I showed him the door that I want him to do. While he's busy at the door, I came on stage. I started praying. I'm just praying. I'm just praying the whole time. After we finished the day, he came to me and said, "Hey, Pastor, you like prayer, eh? I see you put a lot of effort in prayer." I didn't even notice that I'm doing something extra. Like I just thought I'm normal. Okay, there's a bit of time available. Let me use it to pray. Let me pray. Let me just pray. Yeah, he noticed. He says, "Hey, you like prayer, eh?" I said, "No, I don't like prayer. It's how I get things done. I don't like prayer. It's how I get things done. I don't like prayer. It's how I get things done. I don't like prayer. It's how I get things done." The issue is not you lack prayer or you don't lack prayer. The issue, are you getting things done? Are things getting done? That's the main issue. Because some people are shouting, but things are not getting done. Teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. And I believe when you come here on Fridays, you are coming to pray, yes? But you are also coming to learn to pray. That's why I will be exhorting you to pray. I will always encourage you to pray. Because the only thing that the Bible says to do always is to always pray. The only thing Jesus said in Luke 18 verse 1, he said men ought always to pray. He didn't say men ought always to sleep, men ought always to eat, men ought always to but men ought always to pray. This is the greatest key of your life. Everything by prayer. Everything, you don't understand a subject by prayer. By prayer, you will start understanding the subject. Somebody is harassing you at school, by prayer, you will sort them out. When you learn to pray, you will see how you will start dominating things. Oh, yeah. People think prayer is a session of the service where we pray. But that prayer is not connected to my life. It's if you are in trouble, pray. It means prayer is involved in your daily life. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Or shall I say, prayer should be involved in your daily life. And one of the reasons why all that is working in what you are doing and you are not seeing the power of God is because you are not involving God through prayer.
But that is changing from tonight. Amen. By the grace of God. Amen. I want to show you something. There's so much to show you. But I believe that we have time, and God is helping us. Amen. Amen. Matthew 26, verse 53, New Living Translation. I want to show you one of the things that happen when people pray. Among others. Matthew 26, 53, NLT. Jesus speaking said, "Don't you realize that I could ask my Father for thousands of angels to protect us and he will send them instantly?" Now, New King James of the same verse. "Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father?" Don't you know that I can pray now to my Father? And what will be the result? He will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels. So what is one of the number one resulting effect of prayer? Angelic activity. Angelic release and intervention. Don't you realize I cannot pray? And as a result of my prayer, my Father will send legions of angels to come and protect me, to come and help me. Prayer activates angels. Oh, prayer activates angels. Prayerlessness activates demons. If you didn't know, now you know. Prayerlessness releases demons. They operate freely. They like it when you are. That's why they fight your prayer life. You shouldn't pray. Because once you start praying, you activate angels. It is Gabriel who told Daniel, "I came in response of your prayer." Gabriel is an angel, and Gabriel is saying to Daniel, "When you started praying, I was dispatched. I was dispatched." Angel, you see, Bishop Dark said this years ago, and I never forgot. He said, "People who pray always have angels around them." He said, "People who pray a lot, angelic activity is bound to be consistent around such people." And I noticed my life when I started praying, and I made prayer something I do constantly. My results started changing. Even things that used to be very difficult to get done started happening just naturally. I noticed that my life, my daily life changed when my prayer life changed. Yes. And I always know when things are beginning to be like something that is supposed to happen is being delayed, I know I have gone down in prayer. Yes. Because usually God is rocket speed. Like when God comes, I can sense this thing. I'm still thinking about it. The person's already saying, "No, here it is." Like you see the speed with which it's coming. You know your prayers have unlocked something. Like there's a deal. We've been busy with me and my pastors. And then, was it yesterday? Yeah, yesterday I was driving with Pastor MC. And then he was saying to me, "Hey, Reverend, I think this man prayed. Like the deal we are making with him, he prayed." But I just kept quiet because actually the person who prayed, nah. It's not the man who prayed. It's me who prayed. What the man is doing is the result of my prayers and your prayers.
all our prayers. Do you understand? I'm coming from 21 days of intense prayer. I pray here. I go and pray in Rustenburg every day for 21 days. Do you understand what that can unlock? A lot. People joke with prayer at their own detriment. People neglect prayer for their own confusion. You could understand the power that is hidden in prayer. You will understand why Jesus says, pray always. Why Paul also says, pray always. You might not do a lot of things, but pray always. Pray always. It will change everything about your life. Brother, it will change everything about your life. If you could become a prayerful person, it will change everything about your life. It will change your results. It will change how your life is going. Because most of the things that are in your life are the result of demon spirit. You should understand something. A woman was oppressed for 18 years and people thought it's a condition. But Jesus tells us this woman was oppressed by an evil spirit. 18 years. That's how you know when a thing is too long. You say, you're supposed to suffer for a while. Now you are suffering for 18 years. There's a demon that has come. He's eating from your affliction. When you are afflicted, he is full. Like when you are suffering, he is happy. Yeah. How do you think demons survive? They survive. A demon of drunkenness is alive when you are drunk. That's why you have to be drunk for him to enjoy. If you are sober, he is struggling. He needs you drunk, but when you become drunk, then he starts enjoying life. Demons eat off people. Remember what the Lord told the serpent? You shall eat what? Huh? You shall eat what? The dust. And man is made of what? Dust. So demons eat from the dust, which is our flesh. Our flesh is from the dust. So when they activate our flesh and we respond, they are eating. That's how they eat. They eat from the flesh, which is dust. So the more spiritual you are, the more starving they get. And the more carnal you are, the more enjoying it is for them. You are thinking you are enjoying. No, they are the ones that are really enjoying. Of you. Yeah. There's a man who said, remove all humans on earth, demons will have nothing to do. Their existence is intrinsically connected to our lives. That if you remove humans from a place, they have not, that it becomes a hollow life. Are you here? So let's get to prayer, people of God. Let's get to prayer. Let's get to prayer. Let's get to prayer. And let's learn to pray. So this series, everything is connected to. I'll be talking to you about reason to pray in tongues because it's part of prayer. That's not actively prayer. But you see, I can't even tell you much about it at the moment if I don't first help you understand why you should pray. And that you should first understand prayer is important for your life. He said, pray that you should not fall into temptation. Are you in trouble? Pray. Are you anxious? Pray. Are you under temptation? Pray. Ah. This thing answers everything. Prayer. So what therefore is prayer? Prayer is simple. Calling the Almighty into your situation.
can find this quick. Psalm 18, verse 17. Actually, from verse 16. Amen? Don't worry, we're almost done. Psalm 18, verse 16. He sent from above. Amen? He took me. He drew me out of many waters. That's where I was. And these are not normal waters. These are troubled waters. The song of Paul Simon. Troubled waters. And is it the bridge and bridge and troubled waters something and that bridge something. You guys are new. You don't know some of those songs. Trouble is he drew me out. May God draw you out of many waters. May God draw you out. May God draw. He said he drew me out. Like I was drowning in these things. Drowning in debt, drowning in depression, drowning in confusion. That he drew me out. He drew me out. Listen, may God stretch his hand. Throw it inside the water and draw you out of there. Hallelujah. Look at verse 17. Verse 17. He said, he delivered me from what? My strong enemy. My strong enemy. From those who hated me. Now, for they were too strong for me. You see, this is the essence of prayer. The essence of prayer is that, you see, you need to call the Almighty into your situation because what you are fighting with is too strong for you. Like if you fight it, you will fight it for it, and it will defeat you every day. It's too strong. Even the wisdom of David to acknowledge that an enemy is stronger than you, some people don't have. To recognize that this problem, I said yesterday, I will not fall again. Today, you fall three times. The thing is stronger than you. It's too strong. It's too strong. Have you had a dream? You tried to say the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is not coming out. That thing is too strong. You promise yourself, I will not do this again. 2 days were enough. You are back. The problem is too strong. You see, the enemy, those who hated me. Imagine when people hate you and they are stronger than you. What is your future? People hate you and they are stronger than you. What is your future? What will you do? They hate you and they are stronger. This is where prayer comes in. Hallelujah. This is where prayer comes in. Now look at verse 18. We're almost done. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. The Lord was my support. Hallelujah. Look at verse 19. He also brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. He brought me out a broad place. Took me out of the waters into a broad place. A broad place. I preached this message on this years ago. Because the same verse, if you NIV it, it's going to say open spaces. Yeah. This one. He brought me out into a spacious place. Mpisekai, I heard this word for the first time. Open spaces. He opened his company. He's called his music company Open Space. Based on this verse. That God has brought him out and put him in open spaces. May God place you in some open spaces. You know when it's open space, there are no restrictions. You are no more restricted financially. You are no more restricted here. Like, it's open. You can go. You can now move. You can now achieve. You can now become something.
open spaces.
That's where God wants to take you. You know where we are? We are restricted places. You try here. Hey, no. Hey, no. May God lift you from the waters and put you in an open space in the name of Jesus. And all of this is possible through the power of prayer. How did he get involved? I called him. He came into my situation and delivered me from an enemy who was terrorizing me, tormenting me, and gave me victory. So these are prayer secrets. I started sharing them the other day. Let me quickly take you through them. And next week, Friday, by the grace of the Lord, I'll take you in details. Number one, when you pray, pray with a clear conscience. That's the first point. Pray with a clear conscience. I'll come back on it. Number two, pray with confidence. Praise the Lord. Pray with confidence. Number three, pray with boldness. I'll be teaching this. These are prayer secrets. These are prayer secrets. We're out of time for today, but if you can come next week, if you can be here next week, So, number one, pray with a clear conscience. Number two, pray with desperation. Pray with desperation. Number three, pray with confidence. Number four, pray with freedom. Pray with freedom. I'll be talking about this in details. These prayer secrets, I'll be taking you through them in details. But I pray for you tonight that may there be a wisdom from God to return back to a place of prayer. Our parents, long time ago, they had an altar in the house, a place of prayer. And this is where I sort out issues. When I want to deal with problems, this is where I sort out. Yeah. It's just unfortunate that some people rather have an image there. But what they are doing is that they are saying, this is where I come to sort out problems. Some people have the statue of Mary. So when they want to pray, they come there. The only problem is that there's a statue. But they've identified a place where they want to go and solve problems, rather than go to talk to everybody. Now, you know better. You know that we don't pray to statues. Why can't you have a place of prayer? You are solving financial problems by going to the same place of work. You don't change places all the time. You keep going to the same place, and through that place, you are solving some financial issues in your life. You are solving the issue of ignorance by going to the same place called a school. Same place. Why can't you have a place? And you say, but I have ABC. Yes, it's a good place. It's about your house. Why can't you have a spot in your house? When I want to solve problems, I come here. Solomon told God, whenever the people come and look in this direction, hear them. Is there a place in your house that you have dedicated to the Lord? That here is for God. This place belongs to God. I talk to God here. Is there a spot that you have allocated for you and him, where you and him meet and discuss? You see, that lack of risk, that lack of seriousness in even finding the spot is also revealing that there's a lot of casualty in the act of prayer. A lot of casualty that is leading to casual answers, because it's casual prayers. The man of God, Kenneth Copeland, one time I was reading one of his magazines and he was talking about petitions. I realize people have grown in God in a ways that are very, very interesting. Kenneth Copeland doesn't make petitions with his mouth. He writes them down. He writes his petition. Like he's petitioning. When people used to petition for a prisoner, they will write paragraphs to explain why the prisoner should be given a chance. It's a petition. Like you are petitioning on behalf of a situation. So the man will write paragraphs to petition over a matter that he's trusting God to help him on. I realize how casual I am with everything. Oh Lord, bless Jesus. Let's bring an element of seriousness in our prayer lives. And we will discover how serious God is. How serious God is. I know many of you are young. And that's the right time for me to start teaching you these things. If you could grasp them now, that you could become friend of God now. You could have an intimacy with God now. Start building a relationship with God now in prayer. Do you know what you will be when you are 25 years old? You will be a giant. You will be Satan's biggest headache. But Satan wants you to be casual so that you can never be a problem to him tomorrow. Wants you to be casual to not have value of spiritual things. So that because he is a spiritual being and you, for you to fight him, you have to be spiritual. So if he makes you carnal and sluggish, then you can never really front him. Do you know what could happen if you could really become spiritual? And the first thing that makes you spiritual is prayer, my brother. It's prayer. Prayer makes you spiritual. Prayer. Prayer. That's the first thing. I was surprised. The man of God was saying that the first thing we use to measure your spirituality, do you understand? It's not your church attendance. It's not how many verses you read a day. It's not how many messages you listen to. It's how much you pray. Like prayer is the greatest indication of your spirituality. Prayer. Your spirituality is measured by your prayer. That's what spirituality is, prayer. Yes. UNISA students have Bibles. Sangomas have Bibles. So don't say Bible, no, I'm spiritual, I read it. No. A lot of people that don't go to church, they have Bible, they read Bible even better than you. So we can't use that for spirituality. Let's check your prayer intake. Can you stay with a spirit for 1 hour? Can you connect with a spirit you don't see for 1 hour? Or 20 minutes, you're already distracted. In fact, 5 minutes is enough. You're already distracted. You can't. You see? Can you sustain contact with a spirit? Because Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says, by faith, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Whoever comes to God must believe that he exists. Why? Because you can't see him. But you must believe he's around. And you must communicate with him as though you believe he's around. And if you can sustain such a communication for 1 hour, boy, it means you are really growing. You are able to be with a spirit for 1 hour. When I go on a retreat, I enter a room. I only come the day I'm finishing the retreat. I don't come at any given time. I'm in that room. If I'm at the retreat for 4 days, I will be in that room for 4 days. I don't go out. Nobody enters. Nobody goes out. It's only me in the room. Me and God in the room for 4 days. Sometimes I start praying at 6 a.m. until 6 p.m. I'm praying for 12 hours straight. No pause of going to. No, you are praying for 12 hours. You are talking to a spirit for 12 hours. Boy, it's going to change you. It's going to change everything about you. Oh, yeah. How did Bishop Dad become Bishop Dad? Every day he'll pray 10 to 7. 10 to 7 days, 7 hours of prayer. A young boy of 17 years, 18 years old, praying for 7 hours every day. Look at what it has turned into. Look at what it has turned into. Do you know what it is like to be interacting with God, a spirit, for 1 hour, for 2 hours, for 3 hours? Yeah. By all means, you change. Oh no, you change. You start looking and getting the result of the person you are spending time with. This is what people don't know. Become prayerful. Become prayerful. Don't joke with prayer. Take prayer seriously. So many things will. You just see things. You see Psalm 91 practical. A thousand is falling on your side. 10,000 falling on your. You are just coolly moving as if you are not. You are in another planet. I see you praying. Break through your flesh. Get into prayer. When you run out of strength, ask God to help you. Father, my prayer life is going down. Please help me. These are prayers I pray. Father, my prayer life is going down. I don't like the what is going on. Father, please help me. Holy Spirit, help me restore my prayer life. Oh Lord, my word life is going down. And before you know it, it's back. Get into these things and God will bless you. Can we be on our feet, please? Thank you so much. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Well, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I just want to give you thanks and praise right now for this time in your presence, how you are helping us, Lord. I know this is a shifting teaching. Because you are helping us to adjust our lifestyles. And I pray to you now, Lord Jesus, that you will help us. Where there's prayerlessness, where there's been carnality, casualty, help us. Help us. Many here will become men of prayer. Many here will become women of prayer. Many young people here will carry such an anointing, such a presence of God, that when they will hold a microphone, even when they are not holding a microphone, when they start praying, the environment around them will change immediately because they sustain time with God. And God has begun to rub himself on them, to rub on them. And they are carrying God now. Wherever they go. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't you take a few minutes and just ask God to revive your prayer life. Revive your prayer. Father, revive my prayer altar. Father, take away every carnality, every foolishness. Revive my prayer altar. Why don't you pray that prayer? Open your mouth and pray that prayer in the name of Jesus. Come on, go ahead and pray that prayer from the depths of your heart. Revive my prayer life. Yes, restore it. Revive, restore my prayer life. Oh yes. Maybe you've never even had a prayer life. Father, bring life, bring prayer into my life. Help me to become a praying person. Maybe where you are now, there's no prayer. Your room doesn't know prayer. There's never been prayer in your room. But right now, Father, bring the spirit of prayer. The spirit of prayer. The spirit of prayer. The spirit of prayer. Come on, pray. Father, where I am, let there be prayer. Where I am, let there be prayer. Let my bed know my voice. Let the ceiling above my head hear my voice. Let the room change because I am a praying man. I am a praying woman. I am not a slumberer. I am a prayer warrior. Come on, open your mouth and restore this connection of prayer. La sede di azude velida. Salide prazuto cere velema. Oh, many problems can end tonight. Many problems can end as you become prayerful. Many anxieties can be drowned through your prayers. We
Receive your prayers in your prayers.
Sadovre lize charevele gadoba. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The spirit of prayer is returning into your life. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I will not ban prayer. I will not neglect prayer. I will schedule time to come early to pray. I will become a prayer addict. I'll become a prayer addict. I look forward for prayer times. Oh, how blessed I was today when I was driving home with my kids and my daughter asked me, Daddy, are you going to pray? And I said, yes, I'm going to pray. He said, Daddy, I want to come with you. I want to come with you. Even if they could just pray for 2 minutes and then they went and start playing. But those 2 minutes matter. I mean, she's seeing my father prays. Daddy, are you going for prayer? I say, yes. He said, no, I want to come with you. I want to come with you. I want to come with you. May your children ask you one day, Daddy, mommy, are you going to pray? Are you going for prayer? Because I know you are going to pray again. May your life be associated with prayer. May there be a connection between your that your children know as soon as you disappear, you've disappeared to pray. Not to do funny things. Daddy, are you going to pray? I want to come with you. How blessed I was in my heart that my child didn't say, Daddy, are you going to a tavern? Daddy, are you going to such and such? Daddy, are you going to pray? I want to come with you. I want to come with you. Thank you, Father, for restoring broken altars tonight, taking us back to a place where prayer has its place in our lives, which is for our own good anyway. We give you thanks. We give you praise. In Jesus' name. I want to pray for you right now. You are here. You've never ever surrendered your life to Jesus. Or even if you did, you didn't do it seriously. I want to pray with you right now. Say, Pastor, I want to start my journey of prayer with Jesus. I think the first prayer that you and I need to pray tonight is the prayer of salvation. It's a powerful prayer. It's the prayer that introduces you in the kingdom of God. Yes. Because for your prayers to be effective, you know, Jesus says when you pray, say, Our Father who is in heaven. God is not a father to all. He becomes your father when you are born again, because John 1, 11 and 12 says, those who receive him, he gave the right to become sons of God. When they become sons of God, means God becomes their father. So prayer is made effective through salvation. When you are saved, when you are now born again, God is no more just your God. He becomes your father in heaven. You start having a father in heaven. A father you can pray to in heaven. So I want to pray with you now. You want to make Jesus your Lord and your Savior. You want to be born again. You want your sins to be forgiven. You want Jesus to rule in your heart. I'm going to count up to three. When you hear three, from the depths of your heart, you can just raise your right hand, Pastor, pray with me. I want to be born again. I want my sins to be forgiven. I want to have a Father in heaven to pray to. A Father in heaven. Not just a God in heaven, but a Father in heaven. Our Father who is in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Yes. One. Two. Three. You can raise your right hand if you need prayer. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you so much. You can take your hands down. Now you are here tonight. You're already born again. But there's a need to recommit to Jesus. I never want to close the service without giving everybody these opportunities. Because the Bible says, today, if you can hear his voice, do not harden your heart. This is an opportunity to be saved, yes. But it is also an opportunity to be recommitted back to the faith, back to Jesus, to correct your steps, to correct your ways, and fix things. At the count of three, Pastor, I want to recommit my life to Jesus. I want to get it right all over again tonight. Thank you for that word, Pastor. But I want to now start the journey by recommitting my life. One,
2, 3, you can raise your hand. I want you to commit my life. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. See all those hands that are up. Thank you, Jesus. All of us that raise our hands first, second time, please make your way to the altar so we can pray together with you. Come on, let's celebrate them as they come. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Make your way quickly. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Glory. Can we raise our two hands to the heavens? Repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you tonight. Please forgive me my sins. I'm standing here because I want to have a genuine relationship with you in prayer. I want my prayers to be answered. And I learned tonight the first step is to have a Father in heaven. Therefore, I give you my heart. I give you my life. Please forgive me my sins. Wash me with your blood. I believe you died for me. On the third day you rose again. That I might be justified. Right now, I believe my sins are forgiven. I'm justified by your blood. I'm saved. I'm restored. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I am free from the power of sin to serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me and for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, I thank you for these ones that have come to your presence. Your grace has brought them this far. May the same grace preserve them in your house, buoyant, strong, fervent, till the day of your appearing. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. May God bless you. Remember to subscribe to receive our latest service notifications and to share the link. You can also watch our pastor, Pastor Pascal, live on our Facebook page, Alive Bible Church HQ, or on our YouTube channel, Alive Bible Church SA. Remember, you are alive to give life.